And the Bible says they stopped and had a meal together. For some reason, in the middle of the meal, the Lord allows their eyes to be open. Kaboingo. They see this is Jesus. Ay, 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 they're Portuguese guys. Ay, 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 they said. But they recognized the presence of God, and they allowed the presence of God to affect them.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Once these disciples saw and recognized the risen Savior, their lives were never the same. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled, Developing a Spirit of Excellence.
How do you develop that spirit of excellence? Let me give you just a few ways. And the first is this, and you can write it down somewhere on a piece of paper. Would you, number one, and this is what we saw during our worship time. Number one is this. Number one is learn to recognize the presence of God. Learn to recognize the presence of God. You see, the Bible says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, what? Right in your midst. But the Pharisees were in the presence of God too, and it didn't do them any good. Why? Because they didn't respond to, they didn't give recognition to the presence of God. They didn't let the presence of God affect the way they lived. Two on the road to Emmaus. It was right after Jesus was crucified, and they were grumbling and complaining about this one who called himself Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who would come and restore the kingdom of Israel back to the Israelites and kick out, boot out the Romans. But instead, after all of these hollow, pipe dream kinds of promises, he's crucified on the cross, and they're complaining and griping. Now, Jesus himself joins these two. But they didn't recognize Jesus for some reason. And so the Lord, it's a hilarious little story, a little scenario there. Jesus says, what are you guys grumbling about? Oh, he said, this guy who called himself Jesus, do you know him? No, tell me about him. Well, you know, he was supposed to restore Israel to us and kick the Romans out, and he gets killed on a cross. Oh, really? Tell me more. Now, he's just walking with these guys. Well, they go all the way to Emmaus, and they stop. And the Bible says they stopped and had a meal together. For some reason, in the middle of the meal, the Lord allows their eyes to be open. Kaboingo. They see this is Jesus. Ay, 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 they're Portuguese guys. Ay, 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 they said. I can't believe it. And all of a sudden, the Bible says Jesus disappeared from their midst. To that very hour, they turned around and hightailed it back to Jerusalem with full excitement, with tons of joy, with such enthusiasm and anticipation, with the fact that God's about to do something great. We got to tell the people that he's alive. He's alive. And they went running back to Jerusalem. And I read that and I thought, isn't that funny? Jesus was with them on the way to Jerusalem, and they were all depressed and discouraged and down in the mouth. Jesus was with them on the way back to Jerusalem, except this time he was in the form of the Holy Spirit, in his presence, the Spirit of God. And I thought, funny, his presence was with them to Emmaus. They were down, back, and they were up. What was the difference? It wasn't the presence of God. It was the fact that they recognized the presence of God, and they allowed the presence of God to affect them. One of the things that'll help your spirit to be developed into a spirit of excellence is always remember that wherever you are, you're in the presence of God, and give recognition to it. Allow that to affect the way you live. Isn't it true when you're with someone that you love or respect very much, you act differently? I remember when I first met Anna. I mean, whoo, I was in her presence. Whoo, you know, I was trying to make points with her. Man, when I would go and see her, like, I would use deodorant. You know, I never do that before. I'd take a bath, you know, all of these things, comb my hair. It's amazing how your life changes. I don't do it anymore, but... but recognize the presence of God, and always remember that right now, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is here. And he's here to help you to become all that he created you to be. And when you leave those doors, he walks with you, that you can talk with him, converse with him. And when you recognize, wait a minute, Jesus is here, it changes the way you live. Forget that. And watch how discouraging life can become. Watch how we begin to compromise. But recognize the presence of God. And as you constantly recognize that, it changes your spirit. Story goes where there's a group of actors in England who were doing like a Broadway kind of show, you know, how you do the Broadway shows. They do it hundreds of times. And this is probably the 100th time they had done this play. And so they were putting on their makeup in the back and yawning. Oh, this is so boring. We've done this so many times. We're sick and tired of this stupid play, these lines, these songs. We're tired of this stuff. And about the 100th time, and everything was just getting so boring. When all of a sudden, someone broke through the back actor's dressing room as if the place was on fire. And he ran through. He said, "Hey, everybody, listen, listen, listen." They stopped putting on their makeup and said, "What? What is going on?" And this guy said, "You know, of all the nights, I don't know why, but this is the night." "The night for what?" they'd say. "The night of all the nights. Tonight, the king himself has chosen to come and watch the play. They're all on the front row. The king and his whole entourage are right there on the front row." All of a sudden, the actors thought, "Wow, the king!" Whoa, they start putting on their eyelashes and their hair and, you know, their costumes. And that night, they never sang with such gusto as they sang that night. They never spoke their lines with such feeling as they did that night. And it never so much so, it just never came alive like that until that night. Why? Because they realized that the king was in the house. And when you understand that the king is in the house, it changes everything about you. Always remember that which God used in the beginning to change lives was the spirit of God's people. It's not how grandiose we were. It's not how technical we were, because we would make mistakes and fumble and stumble and fall. But it's the spirit of God's people. Not only recognize God's presence, but the second thing in developing a spirit of excellence is this. Number two, refuse to be defeated. Refuse to be defeated. Because we have to realize this. Listen carefully. All of us are going to face failures. All of us are going to stumble. We'll all make mistakes. And there'll be many opportunities to fall. But listen, there's only one way you can lose, and that is if you choose to drop out. You see, if you stay in the race, you cannot lose, because I checked the end of the book and it says we win. We win. You check it yourself. We win in the end. So the only way we would lose is if we drop out. You see, listen carefully. The devil has no authority to defeat you. He can push you to the edge of the cliff, but he has no authority to push you over. You jump yourself. Because he does not have that authority. Oh, he'll seek to steal, kill, and to destroy. But we have to do it ourselves, because he has no authority over the believer. But he'll push us to the edge. But you see, we must refuse to give up. You see, having a spirit of excellence, indeed, it may include a person whose heart is kind and generous, but it doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean stupid. A person with a spirit of excellence has a spirit that is maybe teachable, but not gullible. It's a spirit that's strong. A spirit that says, "I refuse to let the devil push me over the edge." Listen to this. Proverbs 18:14 says this. "The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear that?" You see, the Bible says if your spirit is strong, you can even handle illness. But if your spirit is broken, you're finished. Don't let your spirit fall victim to anything the enemy wants to do. Don't let it happen. Keep your spirit strong and make the choice. Settle one thing, we'll all hit speed bumps, but defeat is not going to be in our vocabulary. Amen? Don't let it be there. You can't. My son Aaron, when he was about 8 years old, he was a black belt in video games. And and he was really good with those things. And I remember one video game, he said, "Dad, watch this, Dad." And so I sat there and it was in this video parlor, and his spaceship would come out and just kind of start floating around. He'd shoot it. and it'd say, you know, like 100 points. And another one would come out and he'd shoot it, boom, 100 points. Another one come out, 100 points. Well, this went on. He racked up about 2,000 points. And then there was this huge, ugly-looking alien spaceship that came out. And it was just kind of like radiation, you know, fortress here. And it's, and it's going like this. And he shot at one. And it just, like, ate the bullet. And he hit it again. And it just wouldn't do anything. It just got brighter and brighter. And he kept shooting it. After about the 10th hit, boom, and then the whole, it's like it exploded and the whole screen went white. And it came out 10,000 points. I thought, yeah. I said, all right, Aaron, that's how Christians should be. Yeah, Christians should be strong, not like those little ones. Yeah, that was a Christian spaceship, yeah. And he goes, what, Dad? And I thought, yeah, that's right. You know, sometimes the devil just kind of looks ugly at you and you're defeated. Isn't that right? I mean, sometimes we're so easy to be defeated. Don't do that. Keep your spirit strong. We can be putting up chairs, you know, and someone would come by and say, I don't want them this way. I'd like them this way. Well, you set them up yourself. I'm leaving this church. I'm going to another church. And we kind of walk away and go, wait a minute, come on. And we're just, you can't let your spirit be defeated. Don't do that. I like Billy Sunday. He was an evangelist, and he was talking about defeating the devil. And he said, the devil's going to come after you, and like he comes after me. And sometimes he tries to chop off my arm, but if he chops off my arms, I still got my legs, and I'll kick him to death. And if he cuts off my legs, I still got my teeth. I'll bite him to death. And if he pulls out my teeth, I'll gum him to death till I go home to glory. Not that's how it should be. Don't let your spirit be defeated. As we keep a spirit that's strong, we say, you know, I tell you what, I may not have all the stuff, but I can keep a strong spirit. I was reading Mother Teresa, and she was telling a story about a leper that came to give her some cabbage. It was like his tithe, his first cabbage that he got. And let me read it to you. It says this. There we were in the chapel, and a leper came. And he stood straight up, and in his arms was a small basket of cabbage. In his arms, because on his hands there was not a finger left. He looked up at me and said, I have lost all my fingers and my hands, but I have kept my courage and I've kept my spirit. And I wanted to be someone who works and sings just as you taught us. So I learned to do so even without my hands. 100 times the tool fell to the ground, and 100 times I got down on my knees to pick it up. And I have brought you my first vegetables, and I give them to you because it was you that taught me that I was not unwanted. And I am here to give these to you, but I guess I really give them to the Lord. And I thought, that guy's spirit, that's the kind of spirit that I want to have. Because in the long run, that's what God looks for. You see, a spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? And not only someone who refuses to be defeated, but someone who refuses, finally, to let his joy be stolen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord will be your what? Strength. Would you remind yourself again and again, I will refuse to let anybody or anything steal my joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. The scripture is saying this, if I am a person without joy, I'm a weak person, because the joy of the Lord will be my strength. So a joyless church is a weak church. And so God is saying, I've given you a gift of joy. Don't let anything steal that from you. Never, never, never. Because that's a part of your life. And joy isn't some giddy thing. Joy isn't just sitting around and laughing. Joy is something that says, in fact, James says it this way, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces a character quality called endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's okay. I'm going to hit some trials as you will. But don't you dare let anything steal your joy. Keep your spirit strong. And when your spirit is strong, you'd be surprised what God can do with your life. And everything that you do flows from who you are. Not just what you do, but it's from who you are. Let me close with a final illustration of a man's spirit that just blessed my heart. It was told in a story where a missionary was serving in Africa. And there was a man that was under his tutelage for some time. And one night, it was right around Christmas time, when he heard a knock at his door. It was a rainy, rainy night. When he opened the door, it was a man from this missionary's congregation, soaking wet. It was cold out. But he said, "I have brought you this gift." And he thought, well, that's nice. But he said, "You live about 3 miles from here. That'll take you about an hour and a half, 2 hour walk to get back." He said, "That's okay. I brought you this gift. Please open it." Oh, he said, "Come in, come in, come in." He closed the door and stoked up the fire a little bit. And this man was standing there and he said, "Please, please, Pastor, open the gift." And so the pastor opened the gift. And when he did, there emerged just a simple, roughly carved, but well done, a sculpture of a carving of a giraffe. And he said, "This is very nice. I mean, it wasn't any masterpiece, but it was nice." And the man said, "Well, I made it myself. It comes not from my hands as much as it comes from my heart." And the pastor said, "Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Let me take you home." He said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I will walk home." He said, "No, you walked here in the rain." He said, "Yes, and I will walk back. But I brought you the gift." And the pastor said, "No, no, I can't allow that. I'll take you home." And the man said, "Oh, no, you don't understand, Pastor." Pastor said, "What's that?" He said, "No, no, that alone is not the gift." He said, "The walk is a part of the gift." And you see, what made that so precious was the spirit and the heart behind that man. And isn't that what makes what we do for God so precious and so beautiful? Because the things we do are really simple. I mean, what can we do that would really please God because of how cool we are? But you know what pleases the Lord? Is the spirit behind what you do. It's not just the nice songs. It's the spirit that we have behind those songs. It's not just setting up chairs or hugging someone. It's the spirit that we have. And when we get hit and when we get impacted, it's the spirit that we say, "Wait a minute. I refuse to allow my spirit to be defeated. I'm going to keep my spirit strong because I get to protect that for the Lord. And I know that if I will follow him, in the end, we'll be victorious." And watch how God uses it to change people's lives. Amen. Amen. Would you take a hold of the person's hand next to you as we conclude? I believe our best days are still ahead of us. God has given us hearts that are pleasing to him, hearts that are willing to do whatever he asks, hearts that say, "Yes, Lord, yes. Whatever you ask, the answer is yes." And it all begins right here. Can I encourage you as the people of God, in your marriages, in your relationships, allow God to strengthen your spirit and don't let anything to defeat that. Because you see, the devil has no authority to kill your marriage. But you know what he'll do? He'll cause you to lose your spirit for your marriage. Lose your heart for your marriage. And you'll give up on it yourself. He can't steal your relationships with one another. But he'll cause you somehow to lose your heart for your relationships. Lose heart for the ministry. Lose heart to serve. Lose heart to sing. And we bail out on it ourselves. Let's make a commitment to him that we will watch over our hearts with all diligence and that we will give our heart to no one but Jesus alone. Not to a poor circumstance, not to someone's betrayal where we allow our hearts to be broken. We'll give our heart to nobody except Jesus Christ alone because he's the Lord of our hearts. He's the one to whom belongs our hearts. And so let's do that. Let's give it to him and to him alone. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts. And Lord, we give you our hearts. Lord, we give you our lives. Everything about us, Lord, belongs to you. Lord, I pray that you'll keep our spirits strong, because we know that we're going to go through storms. We know that we're going to go through some setbacks. But Lord, as we keep our hearts strong for you and refuse to allow the devil to steal our joy or to have us lose heart, Lord, we know that you will strengthen us because of that. And you will indeed work all things together for good to those that love you and are the called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, we have made a choice tonight. We've made a choice that we will serve you. We've made a choice with this house called a church, our families. We will make a choice to serve you and you alone, regardless if anyone comes with us or not. We choose to serve the Lord. Regardless if we stumble, fumble, fall, we will serve the Lord. Regardless of whether things go the way we want it to or not, we will serve the Lord. It is our choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you agree with me, let's give the Lord a clap offering that confirms what he's saying to us. Lord, we will serve you with all our hearts. Jesus.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Developing a Spirit of Excellence by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Any storm we can weather, trusting in God's word. We need each other, every father, every mother, sisters and brothers, in harmony.
We will serve the Lord. We
Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.